Useful again for you to have your Bibles open at Romans chapter 5, and particularly looking at verses 6 through to 11. Our theme for this communion season is God demonstrating his love to us. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's our main verse that we have been using as the foundation for everything that we're thinking about this communion season. And last week in our pre-communion, we began by thinking about how surprising it was that God loves us at all, never mind demonstrates his love to us. It's surprising given how sinful we were and how rebellious we were against him. What a remarkable truth it is to think that we who were by nature ungodly, as we're described in this passage, and sinners and unrighteous and even enemies of God, how remarkable it is to think that God has loved such as us. And this morning we're moving on to think about what he has accomplished and how what he has accomplished through Jesus Christ also demonstrates his love towards us. God demonstrates his love towards us in that he loved us as sinners. That's a very loving thing. But now we focus in more tightly on what he has done out of that love for us. And we're thinking this morning, before we come to the table, about two great things that he has accomplished for us. The giving of Christ is the ultimate thing that God has accomplished. He sent his Son into the world, and we'll be looking at that at the table itself. But now let's think for a while about these two great accomplishments as we find them in verse 9 and 10 of our text. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, that's the first great accomplishment we're going to look at, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. That's the second great accomplishment of God's love through Jesus Christ. That's the second one we're going to look at. Justification and reconciliation. In Christ dying for us, God has justified us as his people and reconciled us to himself. We'll spend most of the time on justification and just a little bit at the end on reconciliation, because really the reconciliation grows out of and flows out of the justification. So first of all then, God's love is demonstrated in our justification. When you go into a jeweler's to buy a piece of jewelry, maybe an engagement ring would be the one that most of us will have had some experience of perhaps in the past. That's when this experience will have happened to us. When you go in to buy an engagement ring or a watch or any piece of jewellery and you're trying to choose between a few different options, as often as not, the jeweller will spread out a little black cloth, probably made of velvet, and he'll put that on the counter of the shop, and then he'll set the diamond ring or the gold ring or whatever on top of that black cloth. Why does he do that? Because the brightness and the beauty of the diamond or the gold jewellery or bracelet or whatever, the brightness of that stands out best against that very solid black background. That's what we always need to do when we're thinking about salvation, that we may see the blessedness and the beauty of any part of salvation, we need to put it against the background of our sinfulness. That's what Paul does in this passage. That's what we did last week, so we don't need to spend too much time on it this week. But it's important that as we think about the great accomplishment of God and Jesus Christ in justifying us, that we appreciate it against that backdrop, against our sinfulness. Unrighteous, bad, ungodly people are justified, Paul says here in our passage. People who were enemies of God and hostile to God, that's the kind of people that are justified. That's the kind of people many of us were, perhaps most of us were. That's the kind of people some of you perhaps still are, though it's painful to admit it. It was in that state that God loved us and demonstrated his love by justifying us through the death of his Son by his blood. We were rebels against him. We were sin-loving people. We were people who were on a road to a lost eternity in hell and eternal punishment because of our sins. And we deserved that. But God justified us. This is the first great accomplishment of God's love and grace that we're thinking of this morning. But what is justification? Justification, in very simple terms, is when God pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous. You'll probably recognize that, many of you, from the shorter catechism. The question number 33 is, what is justification? And it describes justification in this way. Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. That's what justification is. There's two parts to it. There is, on one hand, the pardoning of all of our sins, and there is, on the other hand, the acceptance of us as righteous. Let's spend a little time just thinking about each one of them in turn. God has accomplished in Christ, out of his love, pardon for all our sins. Forgiveness for all our sins. Just imagine that. Think about all the different ways we can sin and have sinned. Think about all the ways we used to sin when we were young or before we were converted. Think of all the different areas of life in which we had opportunity to sin and in which we did sin. Think about all the different stages of life. Think about all the different people that we have sinned against. Think about God. Because as David says in Psalm 51, against you only have I sinned, God. In justifying us, God forgives us for all of them. Every single one of them. Think about all the different ways we can sin. We can sin in the words that we speak. We can sin in the thoughts that we have in our minds. We can sin in the things that we do. And we can sin in the things that we don't do or fail to do. We can sin in the attitudes we show towards one another and towards other people. And all of them, in justification, are pardoned and forgiven. Think about the words that we can sin with. Filthy speech or cursing, like Peter cursed as he was in the courtyard. You remember, he was cornered by a servant girl and he denied that he knew Christ with curses. Think of the lies that we have told, or the half-truths, and in justification, they're all forgiven and all pardoned. Think of the sinful thoughts that we have had, covetous thoughts, adulterous thoughts, angry thoughts, which Jesus says are as murder, thoughts of bitterness and jealousy of one another, of jealousy of the neighbor, jealousy of other people, planning evil in our minds, but in justification, all forgiven, all pardoned. Think of the sinful actions we have done, deeds, things that we have actively done, things that we have left undone that we should have done, Sabbaths badly spent, half-hearted disinterested worship, and many other things which we wouldn't want to mention. All pardoned, all forgiven through the grace and love of God and justification. Think about all the different people we have sinned against. Starts very early in life, doesn't it? We sin against mothers and fathers, against brothers and sisters, against friends and neighbors. Sins against them all. But in justification, all pardoned, all forgiven. Justification is the accomplishment of God through Jesus Christ, where all his people's sins are pardoned and forgiven, past sins, present sins, future sins. Think about all the different areas of life where we have sinned, in the home, in school, on the farm, in the garden, in church. So many varieties of different sins, but all these forgiven and pardoned. In simple terms, the sinner who is justified by God is no longer viewed as a sinner by God. That's what we read in Romans chapter 4, verse 5 to 8. Look back there if you have your Bible open. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And then Paul quotes from David in Psalm 32, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute or account sin. Do you see the pardoning of sin in those verses? God justifies the ungodly. It's a blessing that is not earned or merited. It's not by works, it's by faith. It's received by trusting in Christ. And then Paul quotes David in Psalm 32 concerning the blessedness of being justified. And look how he describes it in verse 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin, does not count sin against him. This is what God's love in Jesus Christ has accomplished for his people. The complete, total, permanent, eternal forgiveness of sin. God looks upon us as washed clean, as innocent and pure. Think about it in legal courtroom terms. As Paul described us in our text in Romans chapter 5, he described us as ungodly, as sinners, as enemies of God. That was, if you want, the charge sheet against us. And of course, it's accurate. It's true. These are not jumped up charges. We are. What is the way we are, the way we are described here? We are guilty. But in justification, Christ has stepped in and said, yes, they are guilty, but I'll take the punishment. They deserve death, but I will die. They deserve to be separated from your kindness and your grace for all eternity and be punished, but I will suffer in their place. I'll take the punishment. I'll take the separation and be forsaken by you, Father. I'll take their sin upon me. I'll take their guilt and I'll bear it away. And because he has done that, we are pardoned who are trusting in him. We are forgiven. But that's only half of justification. Justification means we are pardoned of all our sins. We are cleansed of all our iniquity and guilt. But the second half is that we are also accepted as righteous by God. What is justification? The Catechism asks. It's an act of God's free grace wherein he pardoneth all our sins and, secondly, accepteth us as righteous in his sight. I'm sure this has happened to you. It might have happened to you this morning. You wash the car on a Saturday and then it rains and you drive the car out and before you're half a mile up the road, it's dirty again. Or you turn up a side road and, well, the silage has been cut and the farmers are maybe out spreading slurry again and the car is no longer dirty or no longer clean. It's dirtied again. Or a builder's drawing soil out of a site. Or maybe, ladies, you've been cleaning the windows of the house and as sure as you do it, there's a breeze blows up and the dust that was on the ground is blown up against the windows and they're as dirty as ever. What was clean is dirty again. Or maybe you children get a nice newly washed T-shirt out of the drawer or out of the wardrobe and you put it on, but unfortunately there's spaghetti bolognese or something for dinner and before you know it, the nice clean T-shirt's dirty. Well, if justification was just the pardoning of sin, we'd be a bit like the T-shirt in the car. It wouldn't be long before we were sinners again. If justification was just about having our sins forgiven within a few minutes of being pardoned of all our sins, we'd be sinners again. But justification is more. We're accepted as righteous. We have Christ's righteousness, his perfect sinless righteousness, counted as ours. And so God looks at us as if we were as righteous as Christ was. And we know that Christ was perfectly righteous because while he was tempted in all ways, like as we were, yet he was without sin. He never spoke a sinful word. He never thought a sinful thought. He never did a sinful thing. And that righteousness, that perfect life of his, that blamelessness is accounted as ours. That's what David's talking about in Psalm 32, even as it's quoted in Romans chapter 5. He says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, part one of justification, and whose sins are covered. Our sins are covered over. God looks at us, if we are trusting in Christ, as if we had never sinned. He sees righteousness in us. And legally, before him, we are righteous. Perhaps you're here this morning and what has been said about justification can't be said about you. Because you have never put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. You have never come to God and asked him to forgive you and to cleanse you and to accept you as righteous because of what Christ has done. You've never felt the weight of your sins. You've never thought that you deserved wrath or indeed needed salvation. But this text describes each one of us as guilty before God, as ungodly, as headed for wrath. It describes us all as guilty before God, you and I included. It describes all these different ways that we sin. And if you have not had your sins forgiven through faith in Christ, then that record of sins, that catalogue of sins is still in God's book about you. God still views you as guilty. And you are guilty in God's terms. But this text also assures each one of us that if we see ourselves as guilty, and if we come and we trust in Christ, that we will be forgiven and we will be justified. Verse 1 of chapter 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. The way to escape hell, the way to escape eternal wrath, is to seek peace through faith in Christ. In that text in Romans 4, we see that the blessings of justification are for, not for those who work, but for those who believe. Each one of us, if we have believed, if we have given up trying to work our way into heaven, if we have trusted in Christ, this is the blessing we have received. And for each one of us, if we seek God through Jesus Christ, this is the blessing that we shall receive. God demonstrates his love toward us in that he has justified us. We have been justified by the blood of Christ. But secondly, and very briefly, building upon that justification, we see God's love is demonstrated in our reconciliation to him. God's love is demonstrated in our reconciliation to him. For if, verse 10, if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Again, we place this accomplishment of God's grace on the background, the black background of our sins, and particularly our hostility to God. You remember how it is that we were enemies. That's what verse 10 reminds us. We weren't just unrighteous. We weren't just kind of bad. We were enemies of God. But Paul says, we have been reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Relationship breakdowns are always sad. It doesn't matter what that relationship is. Relationship breakdowns are always sad, and they often have very sad consequences. But there's no relationship breakdown so sad and awful as the breakdown in the relationship between God and man. Do you remember how we see it portrayed in the book of Genesis? God came down, we assume, as was his practice, as was his custom, to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the night, evening in the Garden of Eden. But Adam and Eve had ate the forbidden fruit and had sinned, and so they hid themselves from God. They felt their nakedness. They felt their guilt. Their relationship was broken. God made us to fellowship with him, to love him, and to be loved by him. We were to be his people. He was to be our God. But our sins and our ungodliness and our unrighteousness made us enemies. We were at war with him. And no relationship breakdown had such serious consequences as this relationship breakdown. Being guilty of such sin and rebellion, we were under the wrath of God, certain of eternal punishment in hell, and rightly so. We deserved it. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that we have been reconciled to him through the death of his Son. What is reconciliation? Well, it's reuniting in friendship. God, through Jesus Christ, has done a work that means we are no longer enemies. Friendship and relationship has been restored again, and it's all God's doing. It's him who started the process. It's him who made the sacrifice of his own Son to bring it about. It's like justification. It's all of grace. Paul writes to the Colossians in 1:21, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Isn't it lovely the way that's put? We were hostile to God in mind, doing evil deeds, but Christ has reconciled us by his death in order to present us, in order to set us before the holy God of creation. Can you imagine us as sinners standing before the holy God, who is described as a consuming fire? And yet we can, through what Christ has done. He has reconciled us through his death so that we can be accepted by God as holy and as blameless and as above reproach. You see how this is connected to justification. And it's so important to see that this reconciliation has come at such a high cost. We talk about forgiving and forgetting. God can't forgive and forget. God can't forget anything. He is forgiving and he does forgive, but he doesn't just forget our sins. He doesn't just turn a blind eye to them. He punished his son so that we could be reconciled. God is pure holiness. Our sin couldn't just be ignored by him. It couldn't just be swept under the cosmic carpet. Couldn't be hidden. God sees all. Everything, all the time. It had to be dealt with. Someone had to pay the price. Someone had to bear the penalty. Someone had to pay the ransom for our freedom. And this Christ did at the cross. Christ has taken the punishment. He has borne away our sin. He has taken away God's wrath. He has paid for our freedom with his own blood. And now God has nothing to hold against us. We're not enemies anymore. Before we believed and trusted in Christ, we had all our guilt and all our sin and all our hostility that separated us from God. But since Christ has died, all that has gone. God views us in Christ. He loves us for the sake of Christ. He loves us as he loves Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Here truly is another demonstration or a set of demonstrations of God's love. God's love is seen in the wonderful things that he has accomplished for us. If we are trusting in Christ, we are fully, totally, absolutely, permanently, and eternally forgiven for all our sins. They are washed away. They are atoned for by the blood of Christ. We are accepted as righteous. We can enter heaven and eternal life where righteousness dwells because Christ's perfect obedience has covered over our disobedience. And all the hostility is removed. We have been reconciled by the blood of Christ. Christ took away the enmity, is how Scripture describes it. He took away all the things that we were offensive to God in. He has absorbed these things into himself. He has absorbed God's anger and wrath. They have been exhausted at the cross. And so as we come to the table, let us be thankful and amazed that God should heap such love as this upon us, upon the ungodly, through the death of his son, which we now come to remember around the table. Amen.